Hello, I'm Chris Neen. I'm the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. I'm really glad that we can worship together. Have you ever seen portions of the Iditarod dog sled race up in Alaska on television? It's an amazing race. It's over 1,000 miles long. It goes from Anchorage to Nome. Do you know the cause or the start of the race, why it began? Back in 1925, there was an outbreak of diphtheria in Nome. And the only place that the serum could be found was in Anchorage. It's the dead of the winter. And so a plan was made, hatched, to have these frontiersmen and their dog sleds staggered along the path from Anchorage to Nome. And they took 300,000 vials of this serum on these dog sleds, and they kept like a relay taking it across country until it finally got to Nome in order to save lives. It took 127 hours. It's a record that still to this day hasn't been broken. Sometimes when people see churches, I wonder how many driving by our church know the origins of this church. They see the building, they see the cross on top, but do they know where the church comes from, why the church exists? Sometimes time can go by and we can forget the life-saving mission that was taking place 2,000 years ago that birthed the church. We're in this sermon series and we're looking at the beliefs that we have as Christians, and we've looked at the Apostles' Creed and I believe in God and I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Essentially, I believe in the Holy Trinity, God three in one. It also says that I believe in the Catholic Church, Catholic with a small c, Catholic meaning universal. It means I believe in the church with a capital C, if you will, the Church of Jesus Christ, not necessarily just the Presbyterian Church or the Methodist Church or the Lutheran Church, but I believe in the church. Where did the church come from? Well, I just read a portion of Scripture to you where after about a year of Jesus' ministry, he took his closest followers up to a place called Caesarea Philippi. It's northeast of the Sea of Galilee. Often we talk about the Roman occupation of Israel, but we don't talk so much about the empire that ruled Israel before the Romans, and that was the Greeks. Israel had become a part of the empire of Alexander the Great, and when he died, his empire was broken up amongst four generals, and one of those generals was the overseer of Israel, and Israel became very Greek in orientation. There were people that dressed like Greeks and spoke Greek, and Greek religion made a lot of inroads into the population of Israel, and Caesarea Philippi is one of those places. It was a very Greek region of Israel. There's a cave up there, and ancient gods were worshipped in that place, including the god of Pan, god of nature. So it was no mistake that Jesus took his disciples up to Caesarea Philippi in order to ask them an important question: who do the people say that I am? His disciples, they came up with a number of different responses, and then he brought a little closer home and he said, but who do you say that I am? And it was Simon Peter who finally spoke up, and he said, well, you're the Christ, which means the King, the Son of the living God. Jesus was so excited. He said, happy are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because no human has shown you this. Rather, my Father who is in heaven has shown you. I tell you that you are Peter, and I'll build my church on this rock. What rock? The profession of faith that he just gave. When we say that we believe in the church, everybody here knows how flawed the visible church is. This idea of the visible and invisible church comes from Martin Luther, this founder of the Protestant movement. He says it's a mistake to say that the visible church, the bricks and mortar, the roof, the property, the tangible thing is the thing. Because really, the church is an invisible church, and sometimes the two overlap, and sometimes they don't. Just going into a physical building called a church doesn't make you a part of the invisible church any more than a mouse going into a cookie jar makes that mouse a cookie. You know? There's something else to it, isn't there? There's this profession of faith going all the way back to Peter. Upon this profession of faith that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Son of the living God, that's the common thread that everybody in the invisible church shares. If this were the Middle Ages, you'd be sitting in the nave part of the church. That's the portion of the church between the entrance and the pulpit where the laity sit. And it's called nave. It's a Latin word. It means ship. If you look up at the ceiling, churches often look like the inside of a keel of a ship. That's where it gets its name, or the idea that the church is a sanctuary like Noah's Ark, where storms can be swirling all around us on the outside, but what we've found in our profession of faith here, well, this is taking us to salvation. It's delivering us. Like Noah's Ark, I mean, there's every type of person. There's a menagerie of animals in Noah's Ark. There's a menagerie of people in the church. There had to be a little bit of a foul smell sometimes in Noah's Ark. If you've been around churches long enough to know, sometimes we can stink to high heaven too. But in the midst of it, there's a hope that the person who's in charge of the ship knows what he's doing. And at some point, we're going to be brought safely to shore because of the church. We need the church. And our membership in the invisible church begins with that profession. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In that we will be saved. But we're doing more than just sort of floating along, waiting for that day when we come to heaven's shore. In the meantime, the church is also, as the scriptures tell us, the body of Christ, the hands and feet of Christ, this invisible church of people who profess Christ as Savior and Lord, have a profound sense of gratitude and are now learning and filling their days with being a reflection of God's compassion and love in Christ to the world around us and Hastings and its surrounding communities in the world. Jesus, in the last week of his life, remember we're in the season of Lent, this is a Lenten sermon series, when he could have emphasized anything about his life and ministry, emphasized this role of being a servant more than anything else. Remember at the Last Supper how he took off his outer garments and he was the one that washed everybody's feet. Remember how as he's going to the cross, as he's preparing to die for our sins, he's having compassion on the crowd. He's having and caring for the apostles. He even is reaching out to Pilate. He forgives the soldiers who's crucifying him. He forgives the thief on the cross. He sees his mother and he makes sure that she has somebody who will take her in after he's gone. His whole life is one of service, of self-giving, and this is what we're called into. in our own setting in life, in our own place, how are we to represent the hands, the feet, the word, the example of Christ? This is what it means to be the church with a capital C. The church is much maligned right now. People outside the church want to look at people inside the church and say, what a bunch of hypocrites. And when you hear that, don't be embarrassed or ashamed. It's truth. I mean, if you know anything about our faith and who we're pledging to follow, the one with the perfect love of Christ, I know I'm a hypocrite when I compare myself to Jesus. It's all right to be reminded of that. It keeps my heart in the right place, a humble place. You've heard the saying that the church isn't a museum for saints. It isn't a club, a country club for saints. Rather, it's a hospital for sinners. Just like a hospital collects sick people, churches collect sinners, people who are sinners. But the truth is that people outside the church are just as big a hypocrites and sinners as people inside the church. So what's the difference? It's this, that the people inside the church have had their spiritual illness diagnosed, sin. And they're being treated for that sickness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And the people outside the church, they haven't been diagnosed. They aren't being treated. It doesn't have to do with one person being better than another person. It has to do with one person being thankful for the serum that's been made available through the cross of Jesus Christ. I believe in the church. I do believe in the church. And its brokenness and its all of its flaws, it is a place of salvation. It is a place of hope and goodness. It is a place of ministry. Back to the Iditarod, there's this wonderful tradition that's evolved over the decades, and whoever wins the race, there's a bell that rings whenever the next dog sled is approaching, and that winner will come out no matter what time of day, and they'll greet the next team, the driver and team that comes in, and the two of them will celebrate. And then after a while, they'll hear the bell ring again, and two of those will go out, and they'll celebrate with the next man or woman that's crossing the line. Each group is greeted by those that have crossed the line before, and that reminds me of what the author of Hebrews says in the 12th chapter. This is what it's like for the church. Each one of us, as we complete our journey, we're surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. And as we cross the line, we will be greeted by them and we'll all celebrate the fact that you completed your journey. And then we'll wait for the next one that's going to be coming, the ones that are behind us that are completing this journey of being the hands and feet of Christ in this world. Bloodied, beaten, but still there at the finish line by the grace of God. I believe in the church. Christ's church, the invisible church, the professing church, the church that is the hands and feet of Christ in this world, the hope of the world. Amen.